This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Tato.
How are you feeling? How are you going?
Good, good. I'm really looking forward to this week's anniversary album.
Yes, it's quite a hectic one.
Yes, it's very hectic, very energy-sapping, up-tempo vibes. It is The White Room by the KLF,
which
was released in 1991 and is turning 30. And I decided to pick this because the other week they released their music, or some of their music, on streaming platforms for the first time, kind of surprising everybody, because they famously quit the music industry in 1992 and deleted their entire back catalogue.
Why?
I will get to that point.
Oh.
But it became very hard to find their music anywhere officially. You had to go to underground channels.
Well, actually, that's true. I tried to look for this on Spotify,
and
it's not there.
It's not there yet. They've just released a compilation called Solid State Logic 1, which is basically a greatest hits kind of thing.
Right.
Some of those songs on that compilation we're going to play today because they were on this album as well. But just a bit of background firstly about the KLF. So they formed in 1987 and they were a duo by the name of Bill Drummond and Jimmy Courty. And both had been in various roles in the music industry before this, but decided essentially to come together to make kind of a sample-heavy electronic duo, so to speak, and include things like ambient music, house music, hip-hop, that kind of thing, mashed it together. And they actually started off releasing music under another name called the Justified Ancients of Moo Moo.
Damn.
That's a cool name. I like that name. Or Jam for short. And they also went by the name the Time Lords as well. And
they've got a very celestial vibe.
Yes, very celestial vibe. And they've got a very interesting philosophy actually around music, art, the music industry. They were kind of anarchists in the music industry. They had a bit of a reputation for being pranksters, disruptors, so to speak. And kind of, you know, just sticking it to the music industry, to the music press, and that kind of thing. And that actually, they're very, very famous for, in the mid-90s, burning £1 million of banknotes and filming it as a kind of art piece. Apparently, that was like all the money left off from their royalties. And when they decided to disband or leave the music industry, they decided to burn all their money.
I mean, go hard.
Yeah. And through their time, they played around with the music press, had art installations, undertook unusual art performances, so to speak. So it was kind of equally an art project as it was a music project. And through the late 80s, they had success in the underground and indie circles with their kind of dance-heavy singles and obviously the attention that they developed through their antics to help that. And when it came to recording this album, The White Room, which actually was their fourth and final studio record, it was actually recorded on and off for about 4 years, between 87 and 91. It was originally going to be a soundtrack to a film. However, they ran out of money for that film, and this idea was put aside. And with that, they decided to completely change the direction of this record. And at the time, acid house was kind of a big thing. Raving was a big deal in the UK and Europe. So they decided to take hold of this as inspiration, and they kind of created the sound, which they dubbed Stadium House.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of the tracks on here, very sort of heavy sample driven dance pop stadium anthems, big production, big beats, big anthemic vocals. You can just imagine being in a big stadium and these tunes come on and it's like, oh, fire.
It does feel like a stadium.
Yeah, it is. It's like that, eh? Of course, at the time, obviously, mainly acid house and stuff was played in clubs and that kind of thing. But this is taking it to that extra level and like, obviously, years and years later, many DJs have played in big stadiums and big festivals. So I guess in that regard, they're kind of pioneers in that kind of stylistic sense.
Totally.
That stadium sound kind of, stadium house sound formed the basis of these singles, which we're going to play. And it's interesting because the singles were actually recorded slightly differently and mixed slightly differently to the album versions. And you'll hear that the tracks we play today, we're going to be playing some of the single versions.
Yes.
And they're quite different from the album versions. So the first track we're going to play is called What Time Is Love? And this was released as the first single. It dates back to 1988. It's been released in various guises and mixes. And the mix we're hearing here is called the Live at Transcentral mix, which was a number 5 hit in the UK charts. And this was seen as the first of their sort of Stadium House trilogy of big singles. So see what you think.
Cool.
Right now,
text in 5395 if you got anything to say.
This is the KLF with What Time Is Love.
What time is love? What time is love? What time is love? What time is love?
Stadium, everyone. We're all here.
We're talking about disruptors.
Yeah, we're talking about disruptors. We're talking about music activation terrorists. Versus terrorism. We're talking about anarchy. It's the KLF.
I know.
This is the White Room. We're doing it. Yeah. And we got a text from Grizzy saying that they just played their CD in the weekend for the first time in ages. And it's great to hear about them.
Awesome.
So
yeah, wow.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, well, the next track we're going to play is the second single, and it's called 3 AM Eternal. And this is the live at the SSL version. It's interesting, a lot of these tracks sound like they were recorded live, but actually they're studio recordings with live sound effects added to make it sound like it was in a stadium kind of thing.
So they're trolls.
They are so trolls. They are trolls, disruptors, anarchists, the works.
Okay.
And this is another successful single, topped the UK charts, made it to number 5 in the States. It was actually their highest charting track in the pop charts in the States. And it features some rapping by this UK rapper by the name of Ricardo Da Force.
Okay.
Da
Force. Like Da Force.
Da Force, yeah.
Like use Da Force look.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Radio Freedom.
95 PFM.
gonna rock ya. Is gonna rock ya.
The crowd love it. I should say the fake crowd love it.
And the crowd goes wild. So yeah, we're doing the KLF, the White Room from 1991 for anniversary albums. We're going to be going to a short break, but before then, Sam has a question for you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could, the listeners could think of anyone who you could describe as being similar to these guys these days, like as a disruptor kind of thing.
Yeah, who's as disruptive as the KLF?
Yeah, the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Can you think of anyone?
I mentioned Public Enemy.
Yeah.
But they're on like a far different political scale.
Yes. I was thinking more kind of music industry, kind of shock value antics, not really political, so to speak.
So just more like a
trolling.
Troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Was Nirvana like that?
Maybe.
They're a bit trolly.
Yeah, but trolly.
They mimed in the pop, pop charts or whatever.
True, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, that's the test for you.
Texan 5395. Who are our
modern day disruptors?
Modern day disruptors. That's very well put.
No candlelit dinners, no commercial mush. Celebrate Anti-Valentine's Day at MOTAT with fun, dancing, karaoke, live music, the Love Police and all sorts of antics. MOTAT Anti-Valentine's, Saturday, February 13, 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets just $20 or $15 for students from motat.nz. R18.
Hi, I'm Ken.
Hi, Ken.
It's been 6 months since I've listened to Gin. Not gonna lie, I still miss it. The feeling when the primo tunes are pouring out, The smooth grooves, the weird songs, I've got flute in them.
Hey, what's that in his ear?
My ear? No, what?
That's a headphone.
No.
This guy's hurting some gin right now.
He's holding it out on us.
If this guy's going to have some gin, I want some too.
No, you've got to go.
Everyone loves a bit of gin, and no one's going to blame you if you take an earful every Tuesday, 1 till 4. Gin plays all the good notes that go down easy with a lingering, vibed-out aftertaste. The Tuesday 1 to 4 with Gin, thanks to Bikes and Beyond, your e-bike and e-transport specialists.
The Billboard Hot 100.
Pitchfork's top 200 songs of the 1990s.
The Rock 2000.
All of them little piss babies, unable to compare to the one show, the only show, with the guff to shove it to the man at his house where he lives.
The 95 BFM Top 10. The best show, the best songs, the best hosts. Annabelle and Callum, taking you through the best radio station in the world's toppest top tracks of the week.
The 95 BFM Top 10, 7 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday.
Vote online at 95bfm.com/vote.
Yes, 95BFM, you're tuned into the Te Irirangi Pōhō. I'm here with Sam Smith and we're doing anniversary albums. We asked a very poignant question to our audience and listeners. Text in at 5395 if you know the answer. There's many answers. Who are our modern day disruptors?
In the music industry.
We were discussing it and
I came up with two New Zealanders, Darcy Clay and Tom Scott.
Tom Scott bought a goat
to the Music Awards. Yeah. Amongst other things.
And also his rapping in general. Yep, he's always calling things out.
Yep. We've had some good ones come in, though.
Yes, we have. One person mentioned Gigi Allen. Another, Pussy Riot. And could Tism be a bit trolly? Tism.
Tism.
Sarah says yes.
Yes. A very enthusiastic yes from Sarah. Tism. Okay. As well.
Cool.
Great. Yeah. Well, anyway, right. Let's round it off.
Shall we talk about the reception all that jazz? Yeah, well.
Just before the last song.
It was a number three hit in the UK on the back of the success of the singles. It even managed to make number 13 here in little old New Zealand and cracked the top 40 in the US. Critics were unanimous in their praise. They called it imaginative punk rock and also the peak of acid house. It subsequently got named the 81st best album of all time by the NME and the 89th best album, British album of all time by Q magazine. And it kind of, generally seen by many as the one of the best albums the KLF put out for sure. And this is when it gets really interesting because they quit the music industries right after this album came out. Very famously, they appeared at the 1992 Brit Awards where they won Best Group and they... performed at the awards and it finished with Drummond wearing a kilt and firing a machine gun of blanks at the audience. And then the manager came on the loudspeaker and said, "The KLF have left the music business." And then the cameras turned to the audience and all these people in tuxedos and dresses are looking a bit confused, not knowing whether to clap or not. Then afterwards they delivered a dead sheep to the after party with a message tied to it saying, "I died for you, bon appetit."
Wow. You know what? I know that they're not musicians, but you know the creators of South Park?
Yeah, yeah.
They are definite modern disruptors, but in a different sense. But they are also musical. They do make musical.
True. Musics. True. Yeah. And also interesting about the Brit Awards, their award for the best British group was later found buried at Stonehenge.
Wow.
So whoever found that, obviously a nice bit of...
Memorabilia
there for you. So yes, they quit the industry, deleted their back catalogue, but they emerged in the 90s again and the 2000s as a bit of an art collective. They developed an art foundation called the K Foundation. Excuse me. And they participated in kind of one-off events and the latest actually includes their very famous project to build a people's pyramid made out of bricks containing human ashes. That's their kind of latest thing that they're working on. And they've actually just released a film about that online if you're interested.
Sounds rather tapu, doesn't it?
It's quite interesting, yeah. So that's their focus. And they weren't really releasing any music until this latest compilation dropped out of the blue, which is very exciting to see if anything else happens. But they're very much a product of their time, I think, and have always done things their way on their terms and... Yes, I'm not sure if they'd be able to be as successful if they were starting out these days.
Yes.
Some might say.
Yes, some might say. Well, anyway.
Let's finish, though, with another great track.
Yeah, shout-outs to all the modern-day disruptors out there.
Yeah, keep it going.
May you continue.
Very much so. So the final single we're going to play from the album is a very famous version of their song Justified and Ancient, and this features American country singer Tammy Wynette, which caught many by surprise. Drummond even personally flew to the United States to produce her vocals, and it ended up becoming a massive international hit. Went to number one in 18 countries, and by far their biggest hit commercially.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just a groovy country house stadium tune.
So mishmashed and yet so right. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in, Sam.
Thank
I'll see you.
You
next week.
See you.
See you.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.